Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, here's a piece of information maybe you've not known before. It's something fairly new to me as well. There are three tangible aspects to our overall health. Are you ready? Do you know what they are? What would you guess? Here they are: physical, chemical, and emotional. All of these are reinforced by the spiritual. So if you deal with chronic health issues and you only address the physical, you may overlook how this battle is impacting your emotional health, your chemical health, and one is so connected to the other that they're all impacted when one is impacted. Well, I have a fantastic guest in studio with me today, and he'll shed some light on how God has wired our bodies. In fact, we're so excited we started a monthly feature with this friend of ours. We're calling it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We had him on last month and had such a response we couldn't even get to all the calls and questions. And so you know this, if you listen often enough, we've got a handful of guests that we bring on once a month for very distinct purposes. We have redemption stories with Liz Curtis Higgs, where she unpacks biblical stories of redemption and applies them to our life today. We've got Bible Answers with Bible scholar Ron Rhodes. We've got Fierce Faith with Lisa Bevere and a few others. So we are so excited to add to our lineup our friend Dr. Troy to answer your questions on health and healing. And maybe you heard the show promos this last week, or maybe you follow the show schedule on my website. If so, you know that we initially had Sheila Walsh scheduled for first hour today, Dr. Troy for second hour. Sheila is under the weather. She's so sad and sorry she can't be with us today. We'll reschedule with her. Remember to keep her in your prayers. Dr. Troy was so kind to jump in for both hours, and that was one of our goals anyway, is to get him on for 2 hours because the time just flew by so fast last month. Before we get him on and start answering your questions, I got to give a big shout out to our new friends listening in from Faith 1290 in Hartford, Connecticut. We love to hear from you, and we have a tradition every time we add a new market on Live the Promise where we have the first person from that new market to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your mailing address. We will send you a stack of books just to welcome you to the Faith Radio family. We've got so many great books on our shelves and would love to share them with you. And if and when you do email me, tell me a little bit about yourself. Do you like novels? Do you like how-tos, self-care? What do you like? And we'll put a nice gift pack together. And if you're listening in brand new from any of our markets, we would like to get a welcome gift into your hands. We've got a listener packet with a gift and some just great information on our lineup on radio, Faith Radio. So go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Request your free welcome gift today. We will gladly get that into your hands. All right. Now, let me not waste another moment. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurrell is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create, I love this, sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. Dr. Spurrell's company is located in Eagan, Minnesota. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. I mean, did you feel like your ears were smoking last time you were in? I mean, the calls came in so fast, and we worked you so hard. I mean, that went by fast, didn't it?
Yeah, I was surprised how fast it went. But that's why I'm here. It was awesome. It was very, very fulfilling to me to be a part of it. So I loved it.
You were in your lane, and amazing the questions that came in. In fact, we've got a list of questions we couldn't get to, so we'll get to those as well. But if you're someone who deals with chronic health issues, or if you kind of live with a low level of health and you're not sure what— obviously, Dr. Troy can't diagnose you over the phone today, but he can answer some very interesting questions around health, things you may just not even connect the dots for. He will do that, and I'd just love to have you call in. 877-933-2484. 2484-877-93-FAITH, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Well, Dr. Troy, we like to start our conversations talking scripture, and I wonder if there's either a life verse or just a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to read from the Psalm 77:14, and it's all about miracles. And I want to kind of jump off of that about what that looks like. So I'm going to read it here. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people.
Love that.
And I've seen people just have experiences where science can't explain it. And the reality is I've myself operated with the assumption that God knows everything and there's an answer to every problem. And I'm not the one who has every answer. No one individual is, but a lot of people have. So those people that are suffering out there, just keep this close to your heart because mm-hmm. someone has your answer. And it's a process sometimes where one leads you to the next, and to the next. And it just blows me away how complicated scenarios have answers. And when you get through it, you realize that it was kind of simple when you followed God and He made it simple. You know what I mean? Like it yeah. wasn't as complex as we thought because someone had the answer.
And it truly is one of those journeys that you sort of are untangling knots because there is a connection between chemical, emotional, physical. And I think I shared this last time you were on. But, you know, I'm battling Lyme disease, and when I was in kind of one of my sickest places and was begging God for healing, I'm like, I have stuff I want to do. And the Lord whispered to me so clearly, Susie, I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow because you don't have the infrastructure to carry a healthy body because you think like a sick person because every new symptom would make me panic because it was scary stuff. But I started that day renewing my mind and thinking like a healthy person and not a sick person. Maybe speak to just how we rehearse and what we rehearse, even from legitimate hard things, but what we tell ourselves about those things can totally impact our health.
Yes, good and bad. And yeah. so our thoughts are really important. And one of the things that I want people to hear is that we have these physiological things that are certainties like gravity. Yes, God can overcome those if He wants to, but He put these principles in place and they act out inside of us all the time, and they're there for a reason. They're beautifully made. We are beautifully made, and it's absolutely art. It's poetic when you actually look at people and what's going on with their process. And some of us are very, very creative self-sabotagers. We just
wow.
are.
Mm-hmm.
And the lessons that come from that, when we come through that, it makes us who we are to become in God's eye. And so if we just got it done for us, we really wouldn't
right.
have that sense of relativity. And the reality is we have these things that are called automatic negative thoughts. They may be about ourselves or other people, but they're negative thoughts. And we have this area of our brain that filters a lot of those thoughts. And it literally colors the ultimate, it makes our perception, if you will, subconsciously and consciously. And if the overall coloring is negative, it literally shuts down and depresses physiologic function within our body. And we do see it in science in areas like even cancer research, where they find that people with more of a positive outlook on life have higher survival rates. And I see it clinically with people who they're on board, whether what's happening is bad or good. They don't judge it. They actually come through the process much, much faster. And our faith is a big part of that. I find I have to do less work with people when they're faith-filled.
Wow. Interesting. And for those who missed our last conversation, and if you didn't miss it and you heard this part of my story, please forgive me that you have to sit through it again. But this story, my encounter with Dr. Troy, is still bearing fruit in the lives of many, many women. And you know, if you listen often enough, I battled Lyme really bad in my 20s with three young kids. Well, more recently, won't tell you how old I am, but more recently, symptoms have been surfacing again, and I've been seeing Dr. Troy, just some neurological issues and joint issues. And here I'm getting ready for 4 in a row speaking events. Now, remember, I work full-time. So to work full-time and then go out on the weekends and pour it out all weekend, get home Sunday night, drop my suitcase, and go to work Monday morning is no small feat, you know. And Sunday night before my appointment with you on Monday, which began the first week of this 4 week in a row stint, started to get a scratchy throat. And I don't even know why, but the despair just about swallowed me alive. It sort of broadsided me, you know. It was like, really? Because I work so hard to stay healthy. And because I try to steward all that God has given me to do. And I'm not a slouch about it, you know. I mean, I go to bed on time and I drink my water and all that stuff. He's over here nodding going, yep, she does that. Anyway, I go visit Dr. Troy for my regular appointment, but I'm kind of trying to stuff how I'm actually feeling just so we can deal with the surface stuff. That's why I was there. But he picked up on something going on under the surface for me. And you're like, what's going on here? And you asked a few questions. And this is when you said, do me a favor, repeat after me, I forgive myself for being sick. And I remember looking up at you and it's like the dam broke and I couldn't stop crying. I had no idea that you said this, you said something to the effect that, Susie, you said self-contempt will do as much harm to your body and your soul as any disease ever would. So I want you to open your hands and surrender. Just say, I accept me and I trust you. And I'd realized I'd been holding myself in contempt anytime the symptoms would flare because I'm working so hard and it still wasn't enough. But to kind of exhale and go, okay, this is what it is, but I can deal with this. But it was all the emotional baggage that came with it. And that weekend, I went and spoke to 650 women and I told them the story. And there were lines of women who fell into my arms crying, going, I had no idea. And they maybe are holding themselves in contempt because they have a chronic health issue or because they're overweight or because they blew up at their husband again or they can't get their house clean. And women aren't the only ones. How often do you see people condemn themselves and then it comes out in the way they feel about it, physically feel?
Yeah, it's very, very common. We call them self-limiting beliefs and they literally trigger us and they shut ourselves down. And so a lot of times awareness is the first step, just having that awareness that you're doing that. And it can be about you, it usually is about us, and then it can be about other people as well, as far as our beliefs, as how they show up in the world and how we show up in the world. And the reality is we are very, very much imperfect. And once we accept that, because it comes from a good place. You have an amazing, beautiful heart and people who are out to help others and impact others in a good way. When all of a sudden their imperfections might creep in there, it doesn't feel good.
Right.
So we don't want to really necessarily acknowledge it because we got work to do.
Exactly. So the buck up, buttercup thing wasn't working.
Yeah.
I was trying. Yeah, amazing. And these limiting beliefs can impact relationships too, I would imagine, because if you're feeling self-contempt, you're going to project onto other people how you feel about me, even if they're saying, I don't really feel that. I actually love you.
100% right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly right. And it impacts our behaviors. But even even more so, it'll impact things like our food choices, where we all of a sudden have a stressor internally that's driving us. And when we get under stress, we crave one of two things, salt or sugar. And so all of a sudden, we might end up going to the fridge for that snack, or we might end up making a bad choice, not going to the gym for a workout or not doing something. It influences us. It also influences our hormones. It can actually change and alter your hormone levels, your stress hormones, cortisol. It can change your progesterone, estrogens. It has the potential of making physical change with our thoughts.
Wow. And so when we come back, we're going to make the distinction between positive thinking and a transformed, renewed mind, because we're not talking about just positive thinking, but there is something to be said about what the Bible says, that your life will be transformed if you change the way you think, if you have a redemptive thought life. We welcome your calls, your questions, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. Troy when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored to have Dr. Troy in studio with us. He's joining us once a month for health and healing. He's a neurologist and a chiropractor. Is that right? A functional chiropractor? Am I giving you a title right?
Yes, yeah.
And a business owner and a man of faith. And he has so much wisdom to share about the different aspects of health and healing and how you call it the triad of health. You're talking emotional, chemical, and physical. And these three really work together. Maybe unpack that before we dig into the distinction between positive thinking and a renewed mind.
Unpack the
health triad.
The health triad, yeah. Basically, that's how we're made. And so we have these three sides of us that they influence each other. When we're talking mental, we're not just talking mental stress. We're talking how well does the brain communicate with your muscles, your organs, and there are different parts of the brain, and each of those areas can not be functioning equally or balanced or imbalanced. A lot of times we have a right side that's functioning more than a left side, and there might be some beautiful things that come from it. They're more creative and they see things a little bit better. And other people might be more left-brained where they're just really good at the mathematical components of life. And so there are good aspects of that, but when things get too far out of balance, it can cause physical problems. When we have stress, we know that our muscles get tighter, and as our muscles get tighter, they can cause different rotations and imbalances, which then causes pain. Chronic pain can cause depression and anxiety and other disorders.
And reactionary choices, right?
Reactionary choices again. Mm-hmm. And so they all flow mm-hmm. off of one another. And hormone imbalances. We have had patients who have gained 30 pounds in a month without doing anything different with their routine or anything. A personal trainer was one of them that comes to mind, and she gained 30 pounds in a month, and as it turns out, it was a reaction to something she had put in her mouth. It was some mercury stuff, and it had affected her thyroid.
Wow.
And her thyroid labs were off the chart. And so once we got the thyroid kind of balanced, her weight went right back down. Nothing else changed. So that's a chemical that's causing a hormone imbalance, which causes much physical and mental disruption. So they all kind of flow together. It's almost virtually impossible to have one go off without impacting the other two. So it's crucial to look at all three when you're assessing someone, even if they've gotten the label of one disease. It's a little different than our traditional medical model of being labeled with a disease and then trying to treat that disease. It's more of a holistic approach to assess, yes, you have these symptoms, but let's look at the mental, chemical, and physical. And after a while, you start to see patterns within all three of how one impacts the other.
Absolutely interesting. So Dan wrote in or called in last time you were on, and we weren't able to get to this question, and it ties into our renewed mind question. He says, can you touch on the power of positive thinking, how the body-mind-brain connection reacts to your thoughts, both positive and negative?
Yeah, definitely. The positive thinking is basically our attitude's very, very important. And the reality is if we have a positive thought, it can release chemicals that are more uplifting, endorphins. We've seen this before. There's a reason why they say laughter is the best medicine mm-hmm. because of the physiological impact it has. Biblically, we know we're meant to guard our thoughts. And one long time ago, and I may not be getting this right, but when I actually looked up what repent meant, the definition I read literally said change one mind's direction. And so it's basically a God-backed change of your mindset, and that leads to all the benefit of what we're told repent means. And when it comes to the negative thinking, we see and measure these negative physical reactions in our body. And I'll say it in another way. When someone is worrying and you're in a constant worry, and let's say it's in a constant acute worry stressor that's just very severe – we know that people develop ulcers from that, and that is a stomach, basically, lesion from our thoughts.
Wow.
And so that's how strong they are for both the negative and the positive. So the exact opposite is true. When you can fuel your brain with positive, then there's power in that as far as how that impacts us physically. But at the same time, you can't dismiss the other components, because there are a lot of people who pray for it, who read scripture, which by far gives us the roadmap to help us with how our thoughts influence us and what they're meant to do. But there's these other principles we have to pay attention to along with it. And when you actually take a look at all of the areas, the mental, physical, and chemical, then with the positive thoughts, that helps a lot. And I'm talking about biblical principles like gratitude and having
hope.
Those thoughts,
yeah.
Hope, mm-hmm. instead of the worry and the fear for our everyday life stuff. And it really shows up quite a bit when you're paying real close attention to the body.
Mm. even rehearsing and rehashing disappointments or people letting you down. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I would imagine that positive thinking from a worldly standpoint and redeemed thinking probably run a parallel path for a little bit, for a while anyway, where you would have maybe someone who's not a believer who just naturally optimistic and they think positively would probably fare better than the person of faith who doesn't engage their faith or they're constantly negative. But there is a point, I would think, where positive thinking apart from faith becomes almost delusional if you're moving it into a place like, I will be the next American Idol. I mean,
yes.
I'm thinking myself right there. I know I can't sing, but I'm thinking about it. So, you know what I mean? So I'd love to, you know, have you just make a distinction, if you would, because there is, I've read this, that there are health benefits to just looking upward and changing your thoughts. But for the Christian, we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Word of God. We've got a whole different manifesto to live by that even moves it to a whole different level.
Yeah, the best way to maybe explain it is it's a depth thing. And for me, it's like the difference between a nice little swimming pool and the ocean.
Wow, very good.
And so that's basically the difference. And we see the difference. And that's the reason why I say faith-filled is so much easier for me to work with, because I've got that depth of ocean that now to work with versus a swimming pool that you got to bring people. Because positive thinking by itself from the worldly view that we're talking about is very surface. It's very much you're going to get some benefit, but until you experience the depth of God and the Holy Spirit, you don't realize that there's more than the pool. And even though that pool may have helped save your life, if you're hot and it's 120 degrees and you jump in the pool, that pool feels pretty good, and it was very beneficial at that time. But the difference between the pool and the ocean is drastic when it comes to our view as far as a faith-filled belief system.
Absolutely amazing. So we've got about a minute and a half before our bottom of the hour break. But you're seeing all kinds of books come out now about brain science. And I guess what they're learning is what the Bible has always said. Maybe say a word, if you would, about, you know, because oftentimes you'll hear people say where the mind goes, the body goes. Is there something that with our immunities, with just the, how our body cooperates with our habitual thought patterns, don't they kind of get in line with kind of where we go in our thoughts often?
Yeah, 100%. And physically, that's true as well. The people, just motivation by itself, there's an area of the brain called the basal ganglia. It sets the tone for muscles and emotions. And so our negative emotions will slow down that area of the brain as far as how it physically fires to our muscles. So the reality is if you're having thoughts that are shutting you down, you're literally having more trouble getting up off the couch, go do something, because your brain is not sending the same signals to your muscles. And the reality is when you are passionate about something and you are being stimulated by that passion, then all of a sudden the energy's there and your muscles, you don't even have to think about getting up off the couch. You try and get you onto the couch in the first place is the challenge. So our that area of the brain in particular fuels the physical aspect of just movement, and motion is life in our world. We have to keep moving. If we don't move, we actually lose constant stimulus to our brain. It's because of gravity and movement that our brain gets fed. And so we need that. That's why astronauts can only go in space for 2 years before they have to be recalled back, because there's no gravity in space. And so they don't have the movement to stimulate their brain. And so they start to develop cognitive disorders from just the lack of gravity.
Interesting. So our world shrinks when we don't move.
Exactly right.
Wow. Or if you go to space for too long. I'm just saying, you might not want to do that, right? Talking to Dr. Troy, we welcome your questions. Susie at myfaithradio.com. You can call 877-93-FAITH. Back in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored and blessed to have our friend Dr. Troy Spurrell in studio with us. We get him on once a month. Health and Healing with Dr. Troy is what we're calling it. We welcome your questions. I know a lot of you are too shy to get on the air. Grace is a great scribe, and so you can call her. She'll type the question in on the board. Feel free. 877-933-2484. You're kind of shy and quiet today, but I know you're out there. And Sarah wrote in by email and said, a great question. She said, first of all, thanks so much for having Dr. Troy on again. We loved the program last time. She said, my husband had emergency back surgery 13 years ago at age 22. He had previous injuries to his back and hamstrings from high school soccer and a very physical occupation, but a disc slipped into his spinal cord while playing volleyball. Unfortunately, it took the hospital 2 days to give him an MRI, after which he was rushed via ambulance to Abbott Northwestern for back surgery. He's dealt with chronic pain ever since. Sleep has also been a problem for him. He never wakes feeling refreshed, and he often jolts awake in the night in a panic. Many times he has acted out what he's dreaming, once flying across the bed, slamming his head into the wall so hard it made a dent in the sheetrock. We can only suspect these two issues are connected. He has done sleep studies, apnea, etc., was ruled out, and we were left with, you're chronically tired and you have chronic back pain. Oh, my goodness. First of all, Sarah and Matt, God bless you. Boy, what do you want to say, Dr. Troy?
Well, I just want to speak on a few things there. Number one, the back injury itself, I can't comment too much on that as far as what to do at this point, but there's always stuff you can do to make corrections. And I want to talk on the most common things that I see with that as far as when injuries like that don't heal up after you've had the medical attention. There's usually something else going on, and the one thing that caught me about that question was the sleep part of it. And so there can be a common denominator there where once you have an injury, it puts you into a fight-or-flight state, and there's a scenario where people with some digestive disturbances, it can even be something as simple as just a little bit of inflammation, it weakens their core and sets them up for injuries like that in the first place.
Wow.
And so that's more of an underlying scenario that may have set up a weakness that then allowed for the disc injury. And what we see with that is when that starts to occur, there's an area of the brain that really we're floating back and forth in between. It's part of our nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. And we're either in fight or flight or rest and digest. And so people who act out their dreams, that is a REM sleep disorder. And I want to make this very, very clear that traditionally, when we go for a sleep study, they look for sleep apnea, and that's about it. There are other sleep disorders, many sleep disorders, that are actually there that we aren't necessarily trained to look for. And so you can almost take it to the bank that someone who's acting out their dreams to that degree has a REM sleep disorder. And what happens is, the most common one with low back injuries is we see a reciprocal change. Their head physically rotates counter to the rotation of the back. So whatever side the disc bulge was on, we'll see muscle tension in the neck on the other side. And what happens is the occiput literally shifts enough, and at nighttime there's this state that we go into, REM sleep. It's deep sleep. We dream, and at one point during sleep, there's a process where we actually go paralyzed. Our whole body gets turned off, if you will. It's kind of like a computer rebooting. And if you think of a computer that's acting slow, what's the first thing we all do, right? We reboot the computer. Well, God made it so that we do that every single night. And it's a restart, a refresh. And what happens is a lot of the reparative processes start to occur in our body at that moment. Now, if everything kind of goes paralyzed, the one thing we don't want to go paralyzed is our airway. So it's meant to be maintained. So we get this nice flow of oxygen. And what happens is if you don't get that stable, if the muscles are weak or it collapses at all, then some people, not everyone, will release a hormone, adrenaline in the beginning, cortisol in the end. It's a stress response in the middle of deep sleep. So just picture someone dreaming, and then all of a sudden, a shot of adrenaline gets in there. What do? They act out their dreams. They start moving. They may not even be awake. You're usually still asleep. So that's a REM sleep disorder, and we usually see because of an upper airway resistance syndrome is what it's called. It's a sleep disorder. It's a cousin of sleep apnea. But unless you go to a clinic, a sleep clinic that specializes in those disorders, REM sleep disorders, they tend to miss it. And we catch it all the time, even within the study, because the funny thing is their oxygen levels don't go down, so the doctors don't think really there's a problem there. And arousals are high, but not enough to categorize as sleep apnea. And they don't, some of these people don't even snore. Sometimes they do. But the people that talk in their sleep or act out their dreams generally it's a sleep disorder. And the reality is you have to fix the root cause, which is almost always the digestive disturbance and the sleep problem. And generally speaking, chiropractors have good success with the sleep disorder because they adjust the occiput. Dentists will make splints to push the jaw forward, help open up the airway. And you fix that along with the digestive scenario, and you can start to get some stability to start to restore the back. So we call those things viscerosomatic reflexes. So just like when someone has a heart attack, the pain is on the left arm. If I paid attention to their left arm all the time, I'd be missing the point. When someone has a slipped disc like that, a lot of times we pay attention to the disc like we would the arm. But the reality is something else helps set that up that's still there that's maintaining a level of weakness that's keeping the disc scenario the way it is. So finding the underlying cause, which digestive dysfunction is the most common one in that scenario, is truly what's needed.
So I'm amazed at what you just said here. Do you feel that if you were to address each of these different things, that that Matt could start sleeping and moving and having his life back to some degree?
Yeah, we see that quite a bit. There's only God knows for sure, right. And there's a lot of other circumstances, but we see that quite a bit. And if it all depends on how much damage has been done, it depends on if we're able to restore proper communication. When we can restore communication chemically, mentally, and physically, then we just allow the body to innately heal the way God designed it to heal. Just like whenever you get a cut on your arm, you don't have to tell your immune system to heal that. It just starts to heal on its own. It's only when other things get in the way, like a virus or something like that, that we have slow wound healing. Something else is breaking up that communication from your immune system to your brain and vice versa. So it's all about restoring proper communication.
Wow. Thank you for that, Sarah. God bless you. You know, you received quite a response last month. You were on, your receptionist said, yeah, the calls were coming in.
Yeah.
As much as you're able to share, can you talk about any kind of response of people that you've seen and maybe success you've seen?
Yeah, we definitely saw some people with some pretty challenging scenarios call in. And there's a couple of highlights. And whenever I do things like this, I always have the same prayer. I always pray that God sends people to the show or to me if they end up coming to the clinic, to me that we'll be blessed for being there and that we'll be blessed for them being there.
That's cool.
A mutual thing so they get out of it. And I always pray that that someone will hear something that comes out of my mouth that impacts them in some way. And we had someone drive up from Nebraska, and she had not been able to walk upright or sleep through the night, and it's a very similar story actually to the disc story that you just heard. She diagnosed with a neurodegenerative disorder, and this person was very committed to their health and has been seeking help for years. And her husband was with her, and he was a little disgruntled because he has spent a lot of money trying to help her with her health, and just thought this was one more thing. The reality was she walked out standing upright, and we spoke just a couple days ago, and she says it's continued that way for the last couple weeks. And she has her energy back. She's been able to sleep through the night for the most part, and is doing quite well. And a lot of stuff that got linked to her neurodegenerative disease was actually not associated with that at all. And when you're able to clean that stuff up, that we start to see normal function start to return. So, and here's the real miracle. This is what she said. The real miracle is my husband was so impressed, he set up an appointment.
Wow. And the other miracle is she's calling in from Nebraska. I don't even think we have a market out there, but we have lots of people listening.
She was on the road, yes.
All right, yes. We've got people listening online from all over the place as well. When you look at just the plethora of patients that come to your clinic, do you see common consistencies, or is it just sort of the issues, are they all over the map?
They are all over the map, but we have over the years, there was a promise I made myself. I started off in a very tiny room, and my promise was that I didn't know if I was going to be able to help the person in front of me, but I guarantee them they'd never find someone who would work harder to help them find the answer. And
that's so true about you.
I've kept that. I've kept my word, I would say, on that, and I've brought in people around me at the clinic. My team is same way. I've Dr. Megan Kirschling, who's a chiropractor and nurse practitioner, and she deals with hormones and is a specialist with that. She'll send me messages at 1 o'clock in the morning thinking about patients, and she'll email the staff at 4 a.m. and they get on her about that. And it's just people, she's just committed to helping people. And you, when you meet her, you'll know. And Dr. Mark, who's in sports injury and does a lot of the physical stuff, same thing. He's just got a heart to serve others. And so for us, we focus on being servant leaders, being in service to others as much as possible. And it has served us. And it started off with us being very slow at, with what we do. But you fast forward 15 years later, and what used to be very complicated, we now see all the time. And it's led to us being able to impact people the way we wanted to. But when I look back at what I was doing compared to what I'm doing now, it's not even close to the same thing. And the complexity is much, much more. But we see the same scenarios with multiple people. There's a lot of areas that just aren't being serviced, and that's where we tend to shine, because those are the ones that we got stuck on, to be quite frank, or we couldn't figure out ourselves.
Interesting. Wow. 877-933-2484. We've got Sharon checking in from Superior, Wisconsin, I believe. Hey, Sharon, how are you today?
Well, hanging in, Susie. And first of all, I want to praise you. You do just a tremendous job on your program. And
thank you.
I so appreciate you, and I appreciate very much how you give your own personal testimony. It really feeds my spirit each and every day.
Thank you, dear.
Guest today is just tremendous. My situation is I had a surgery that completely failed about 6 years ago. It involved my inner ear and my brain, and it's left me completely deaf on the right side, plus I'm very off balance every single day, but I've also had heart issues. I've had a pacemaker put in. So I deal with two things, vertigo and presyncope. I'm sure the doctor knows those terms every single day. And just the fight to stay conscious on a daily basis is just a big effort for me. Two things. Does he have any thoughts about, I've gone to a number of different physicians. They all have a different, you know, idea of what's causing the problem and all that sort of thing. But if he has any kind of a bottom line type suggestion, including Bible verses that he leans on or suggests people lean on. I read the Bible faithfully every single day of my life.
Thank you, dear Sharon, for that. What do you say, Dr. Troy?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear for the suffering, because I know what that's like. And I want you to know that there are doctors out there who actually specialize in this arena. They're called functional neurologists. So most of them are chiropractic neurologists. There is an institute down in Atlanta, Georgia. If you just look up the name, it's called the Carrick Institute, C-A-R-R-I-C-K. And he has a lot of graduates that specifically work with this type of a scenario where what they do basically is if a nerve has been damaged and gone, there's not much we can do in the functional world with that. But if other nerves can start to take over that function, you can exercise them. So they can test to see if there are ways of exercising those nerves. And nerves are just like muscles. Once you exercise a certain nerve, it can get stronger and stronger and stronger as long as it's fed plenty of oxygen and sugar for the brain and the right nutrients. And there are doctors trained specifically with that. And so there is a lot you can do. It depends on the surgery itself, if it caused a lot of damage, but there are things you can do, and they're functional neurologists. In the cities here, there's a great one by the name of Dr. Jeremy Schmo. He is fantastic as well. I refer a lot of patients when I need his expertise, and they have been serviced quite well with him as far as getting a lot of that brain function restored. And I would actually, when it comes to my verse today is the one I would have you really rest your heart on, because I know when you feel like this, it feels like your world is literally not there because it's spinning, and they do go together. The heart palpitations and the vertigo, they can go together because the area of the brain that regulates the heart is influenced drastically by the position sense in our brain. It's called the cerebellum and the vestibular system. And so that area of the brain, they do go together. So if you can be assessed with a functional neurologist, they can help to see if there's a way to exercise the nerves that really need to be exercised.
Lord, I pray a blessing on Sharon. I ask you to get her to the right people at the right time. I thank you for her precious heart. I pray you would surprise her and make all things new. I pray you'd bring healing where she never thought it was possible. And Lord, we just thank you for this dear heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming up, we'll talk to Lyle from Plymouth. She's got a question about spinal fusion surgery, having trouble swallowing. Wondering if you've got some thoughts on that one, Dr. Troy. And we've got some more emails coming in as well. Don't go away. More with Dr. Troy when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Don't you love this music? That's Meredith Andrews. She and I will be doing an event together with Stacey Eldridge. The three of us will be this fall in St. Cloud. You'll hear more about that in the days to come, but it's going to be awesome. Hope you can join us. Okay, Lyle's checking in from Plymouth, and I have to ask Lyle's forgiveness. Hey, Lyle, how are you today?
Doing reasonably well.
Yep. Thanks for calling. I didn't mean to say that you were a girl. In fact, I've never met a girl named Lyle, so I'm a little lightheaded today, so please forgive me. That was my bad. You're sweet. So you've got a question for Dr. Troy today.
I do. Doctor, I recently had cervical spinal fusion, and I'm having a lot of throat issues, having trouble swallowing. My throat seems to be irritated. Just wondering what I can do to help that heal up and get back to normal.
Thank you, Lyle.
With fusion, one of the things that occurs is that, remember earlier I was commenting on how motion is life, and one of the realities is we need a lot of movement in our joints. And as we start to lose that movement, that flexibility in the joints, we get decreased feedback and neurologic support. And so we can start to see that with stiffening of the muscles and decreased feedback to the brain. So without a lot of other specifics, what I would say is it really is about getting the muscles stimulated. So you want to actually get some movement, that as much movement as you can in the neck that's still safe with the doctors that are treating with you. That's what physical therapy and rehab generally is meant to do after surgeries like this. It is important, though, to exercise the nerves all around that area. So when you look at the throat and the airway, a lot of times there are physical things you can do. I'm going to try and describe this over the phone, over the radio here, and see if you can do it. You know, when you go into the wintertime, you've got the snow and the kids are making those snow angels. There's something called a wall angel, where you go up against the wall with your shoulder blades, head, and your arms flat against the wall, your butt and your heels flat against the wall. And if you can push into the wall, keeping your arms flat like a snow angel, that will start to strengthen and stimulate the nerves, or the muscles and the nerves between the shoulder blades, and that'll help bring the head back. And it's a great exercise just to do 10 times in the morning, 10 times at night, and it takes time. But after about 4 or 5 weeks, we start to see a shift and a change where the muscle strength comes back. And specifically for the throat area itself, gargling all by itself will actually exercise the muscles. It's an old habit that my grandfather used to do, and his generation, I think, just gargled more. I think they did it for breath more than anything. Mm-hmm. But we in the neurological world actually give that to some of our patients to help strengthen their brainstem and gag reflex and get those nerves firing again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So salt water?
Salt water. You can do salt water, even regular water. You're doing it mostly. Just think of it like weightlifting in the gym.
Awesome.
It's basically helping those muscles get a little stronger. But we have to get the head back, and those muscles need to be stimulated. So even light touch and massage, if you can find a massage therapist or even yourself, just getting some movement into those muscles, it really does help stimulate the area, and you can move through this.
One of the symptoms I was dealing with was numbing across my neck and then a little difficulty swallowing when that would happen, Lyle. And Dr. Troy had me doing that, and you said to roll a towel up, behind my neck and then push up. And you really do feel like your abs are engaged, but you're doing the snow angel up against the wall.
Yeah.
It has made a difference. So I hope you can try that, Lyle. Hope that helps. Let's try to get Michelle's call from Oak Grove. Thanks for holding, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say thank you both for being such a blessing to so many people's lives.
You're
fabulous. I'm calling up because I've been very similar to Susie. I've been like kicking gluten and dairy and a lot of things out of my diet because I feel that the Lord gave me the wisdom regarding that. Mm. I had health issues like anemia and autoimmune disorders. But what I'm suffering now, and I can't figure it out, and the Lord hasn't revealed it yet, is that every early morning hours of sleep, I'm dealing with numbness, tingling from the elbow on down, sometimes on fire. It's on fire. And I think it's the food, and I try to eliminate all the food, and nothing seems to happen. And I do take a lot of supplements, magnesium glycinate and vitamin D and things like that, calcium. And then also like dynamic greens and things like that. Minerals and vitamins I take a lot of.
Okay, Michelle, I'm going to pause you right. I'm going to pause right here just because our top of the hour break is coming, and I want to make sure Dr. Troy has a chance to answer you. I would say we've got 4 minutes before we have to have a hard out here, so go ahead, Dr. Troy.
Okay, great. Which arm is it? Can you tell me if it's a left arm or right arm? Is it consistently the same one?
It's more predominant in the right, and I'm a righty, than the left, but it happens in both.
The most common thing, you're right, when it comes to this type of scenario is some digestive consequence. But the reality is we have to look at everything that can affect that right arm. Now, if there's tenderness to your right lower abdomen, where there's a spasticity, it'd be just to the right of the belly button and down a little bit. If you have tenderness in that area when you wake up, then there might be what we call a visceral somatic reflex happening where it's digestive related. It could also more commonly be a problem with the actual neck itself or the blood vessels or nerves coming out of the right side of the neck. So there is a small little pathway for the nerves and arteries to get through, and different muscle spasms and instability can cause that scenario. The other thing is to look at sleep position. Just make sure your right arm is not going above your head, but There's a scenario called thoracic outlet syndrome where we have these constant pressure on the nerve or artery for, it doesn't even have to be for long, and sleep position is one of the triggers for that. So my guess without doing an evaluation would be take a look at if you have tension or tightness on the right side of the neck, on the front side of it, and even back. If you hold your arm above your head for a little bit and it starts to go numb, then that's also a potential sign that there's some things going on there, and it's just manifesting at nighttime because of your sleep position. The other thing is if the abdomen
is... It tends to continue in the early, like in the morning hours, like probably till around noon. And then I find that if I put my hands downward, then like the blood flow gets back down there, and then it seems to relieve the pain, the discomfort, I should say. It's more.
Yeah, that sounds more physical than it does digestive at this point. So sometimes the digestive system is involved, but that definitely sounds more physical. So even the first rib can pop up a little bit and cause some irritation there.
Okay.
Thank you, Michelle.
I've shrunk.
Mm. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Quick one. I don't know if you can answer this in a minute and a half. If not, we can take it on to the second hour here. Jerry, one of our favorites. We love this guy. Says, do you have any theories on the causes or cures of tinnitus? Is that inner ear?
Yeah, ringing in the ear, mm-hmm. basically. And that can happen for many different reasons, actually. So blood thinning can do it. So when that area of the brain gets not as much oxygen, it can manifest as ringing in the ears. Also, there's these little cells in our ears called hair cells, and if they get stimulated in a certain way, that can cause ringing in the ears. So different physical things can cause ringing in the ears. Sinus problems can cause ringing in the ears. Too many blood thinners can cause ringing in the ears if you overdo aspirin or other medications that have thinning of the blood. Chronic tension on the side of the ear ringing can do it as well, and fluid starts to accumulate in these air cells called mastoids. They're at the base of the skull. So many different things can cause it, but it ultimately means that the hair cells are being stimulated or triggered in some way from either lack of oxygen, lack of circulation, blood flow because of tension and instability, most likely, or chemical causes like excessive aspirin and blood thinning type of.
How
materials.
About overexposure to loud noises?
Loud noises, yes. That yes. does the opposite. That overstimulates them.
Okay.
So you can have understimulation and overstimulation
right.
of hair
Years
cells.
Years of teaching aerobics in studios where the music bounces off the walls has,
yep.
yeah, that's been something. We've got another hour with Dr. Troy. Unless you have more questions, which I hope you do, I'm going to step on a few toes and ask, toes, I sounded like I'm from the upper Midwest. I want you to talk about sugar and the impact of soda and a few other things like that. More with Dr. Troy. Hour 2 is up next.